American girls and American guys will always stand up and salute, will always recognize. When we see Old Glory flying, there's a lot of men dead, so that we can sleep in peace at night when we lay down our head. My daddy served in the Army, where he lost his right eye, but he flew a flag out in our yard till the day that he died. He wanted my mother, my brother, my sister, and me to grow up and live happy in the land of the free. Now this nation that I love has fallen under attack. A mighty sucker punch came flying in from somewhere in the back. Soon as we could see clearly through a big black eye, man, we lit up your world like the 4th of July. Hey, Uncle Sam, put your name at the top of his list. And the Statue of Liberty started shaking her fist. And the eagle will fly. When you hear Mother Freedom start ringing her bell, and it feels like the whole wide world is raining down on you, brought to you courtesy of the red, white, and blue. Justice will be served, and the battle will rage. This big dog will fight when you rattle his cage, and you'll be sorry that you messed with the U.S. of A. Courtesy of the Red, White, and Blue is a song by Toby Keith. It was originally entitled The Angry American. It is one that I grew up listening to. I loved hearing. This song was written a few days after the attacks of September 11th, and Keith's father, he had been a soldier in the Army in the 50s, and he always flew a flag to show his patriotism, and Keith had just lost his father 6 months before to a car accident. And so when September 11th came, he wrote down his feelings, and in his words, he never really intended this to become a song. It was originally entitled The Angry American, though. This song has a couple of strong concepts that bring a sense of pride and confidence to us who are in America. Number one, this nation is blessed with men and women who are gladly willing to give up their lives to serve and protect our freedom. And number two, any nation or group that challenges our freedom had better look out, because we have the resources to completely wipe them off the map and from the history books, really. Not every nation has this. And I believe that this ability is a gift from God, historically from a nation who has supported and honored God. And we gather today, we'll be gathering later this week for the 4th of July, as we celebrate the birth of our nation. We are rich and free because of the ultimate sacrifices of others that God empowered people to do. And perhaps for the lesson today, one of the biggest points could be remember. Remember the sacrifice of our men and women who serve in our armies. Remember the sacrifice that our Lord and Savior gave for us to give us freedom. Today we remember that our rich heritage and future is not the result of simply red-blooded American courage, ingenuity, and superiority alone. Our national superiority came from a blessing of God, whom our nation served and we serve today. History is proof that any nation that has failed to recognize the truth has failed and will fall. We read that of the Israelites. We read that of the other nations who did not serve God. We need to remember the past so we may live in the present and have life for the future as well. We must never forget what God has done in the past for America. We must have our eyes opened to what God is doing for America right now, and must realize what God will do to America in the future. I too went to a history teacher, my uncle. He was in whenever we were at my parents, asked him a couple of these different things. God created America. The first evidence we have is what we have from history. One of the first acts of many of the colonies, especially Jamestown, was they would build a church building. It was the first project they would undertake. When the Puritans landed at Plymouth Rock, as we see in the picture here, their first act was to kneel and praise and dedicate this new colony to God. History records that William Penn, who helped to establish Pennsylvania, New York, Delaware, Connecticut, North and South Carolina, and Georgia, and wrote many of the government policies, made sure that all treasurers, judges, and elected officials proclaimed faith in Christ. He made sure of that. The list of historical actions in the beginning of this country that honors God and our Savior Jesus Christ is enormous. The things that our forefathers did in proclaiming this nation is under God. But sadly, in America today, we're sort of forgetting what we've come from, remembering what God has done for us. 1776, British commander William Howe was moving 30,000 veteran British soldiers to take New York. General George Washington only had 18,000 inexperienced troops. The British troops were gaining ground, and Washington had lost 1,000 men and two very important generals. Outnumbered and outclassed, Washington's troops were discouraged, and for some reason, though, the British halted their attack. They could have pressed on and destroyed Washington and his troops at the banks of the Delaware, trapped on Long Island, because the only route of escape was the treacherous East River. The wind was blowing, icy rain was coming down, and the river was full of ice that would crush any boats that tried to cross it. There was no way that William Howe, no way out, and William Howe, for some unknown reason, decided he was going to wait and attack in the morning, not attack at night. With no escape possible, what did Washington do? What I found out, he called a prayer meeting. He had a prayer meeting to ask God for guidance on what to do. Then he decided to cross the river in the midst of the storm anyway. And then suddenly, as soon as they started to do it, the winds died down, the rain stopped. The river was as calm and smooth as glass. As they started crossing, a gentle breeze came up behind them, kind of helping them out. But even with all of this going on, it would be near impossible to get all the troops across before daylight when the British would realize what they were doing. But then God steps in again. As we see in the famous picture, just before daybreak, a thick fog draped over them and hid them from the British troops. And when the fog lifted, British Commander Howe was shocked. Washington and his troops had escaped. Washington and his men recognized God's blessing on America. History is full of stories just like this, where God steps in and sustains our freedom here in America. Today we remember those men and women who paid with their lives to give us the freedom of the country that we live in. But we must recognize that it is God Almighty who gives us these great men and women who are willing to do such things to sustain our freedom. Several years ago back, the U.S. 11th Circuit Court of Appeals agreed that the Ten Commandments at the rotunda of the Alabama Judicial Building must be removed. There was a little outcry, but it was gone nonetheless. The veteran memorials that symbolize who we are as a nation, where we've been, they force us to remember that our security and prosperity was won at a great price by people who believed in God. That those who bear the name above all names serve to remind us that our sovereignty rests in God, not in our political power, not in our army strength, whatever it may be. But here's the challenge that's going on in our day today, our world today. It's not just any memorials of our country that are seeking to be removed. It's the memorials that specifically point out in God we trust, or anything that has a reference to that. It's not just the memorials that are made of wood, steel, or cement, but they are strong symbols of where our country came from, and they're starting to be a bit erased, really. Founding fathers consistently spoke of the need to utilize the Bible and the Judeo-Christian value system in defining and preserving this nation. 12 of the 13 colonies incorporated the Ten Commandments in their civil and criminal codes. President John Adams stated, "The law was given from Sinai was a civil and municipal code as well as a moral and religious code. These are essential laws to the existence of society, and most of which have been enacted in every nation where they professed any code of laws." Patrick Henry is the first governor of Virginia and a continental member of Congress, stated, "It cannot be too overemphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians. Not by religions, but by the gospel of Jesus Christ." And that's a far cry from the leadership that we have today. A little bit ago, You can tell. President Obama gave a speech at Georgetown University, and whenever he was given his speech, the cross was covered that he was standing in front of. He did this because he didn't want to offend anyone. The leader of the greatest nation, the nation founded by Christianity, avoids any symbols of God from history. I'm not bringing this to your attention to downplay any past presidents, but simply to show the beginnings of this nation to now. We were proud to be one nation under God now, and now we're trying to move to where we get rid of them. Those men and women who formed this nation, who shed their blood, and men and women who feared God and devoted themselves to His holy, inspired, infallible Word, when they put up Christian symbols in a government or public property, they did so because they knew the God who had given them what they have. They wanted to honor Him. Daniel chapter 5 talks a little bit about something quite similar to what I just described of getting rid of the symbols of this nation being founded as a godly nation. Daniel chapter 5 verses 3 through 4 talks about how when Israel was in captivity, their captors were using the utensils from the temple in Jerusalem. Well, and it says in verse 3, while he tasted the wine, Belshazzar gave the command to bring the gold and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the temple, which had been in Jerusalem, that the king and his lords, his wives, and his concubines might drink from them. And verse 3 says that they all drank from them. And verse 4, they drank wine and they praised the gods of gold and silver, bronze and iron, wood and stone. This is the same night where a hand wrote on the wall, God intervening, right? And then it said, "Mene, mene, tekel, parson." And what it means is, you have been weighed in the balance and found wanting. You've been weighed in the balance by God, and you're not living up to what God wants you to do. And we see that God removes them. This is the same night that the king was overthrown by another government, really, where we see the Israelites started coming back to their land, were sent back to their land. From the White House to the outhouse, our nation praises the gods of gold and silver instead of God Almighty. Today we talk about it as materialism. It's the most important thing in our world today. God created America. God made America great, and God sustains America. We have a rich history of how God miraculously intervened in the creation of this nation. Our replacement of these artifacts of our forefathers, as we can see, I think, with Daniel a bit of using God's utensils, I think we need to be careful of our removal of God in this world. The artifacts that we're removing is a symbol of a little bit of where our country is going. We're still strong as Christians, but we have a lot of people moving in, and we need to be careful about that. I want to tell you about two other Independence Days. We have Genesis chapter 3. I've talked about this a little bit before. The events of Genesis chapter 3, God created man and woman and put them in the garden, said, "Have rule and dominion over all of my creation." There's just one rule. Do not eat of the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden. Then we have the serpent coming, trying to convince Eve, go ahead and take of the fruit, because in doing so, you will be wise like God. And when man decided, okay, we're going to eat this fruit, we said, we declare our independence from God, right? Independence Days can be bad, but they can also be good. Jesus came to bring us another Independence Day, very well stated as well. The day He freed us from sin. We look back as on this day Jesus endured an unfair trial. It was. We look back on this day Jesus died on the cross. It was. With the sins of the world, our sins, on His shoulders. He died, and with that we see the end of any human effort would have ended right there. But we celebrate and remember that wasn't the end, right? He rose on the third day from the dead, and he appeared to a lot of people. He told his disciples to make disciples who make disciples. He told them to teach what he had taught them and did. And in Jesus' day, he showed what resolute people would do. In Jesus' day, his world was not like unlike our world. One day in the midst of a Jewish holiday, he stood up and said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Today, amid our confused world, those words still are echoing, still are being heard. What we enjoy as Americans today in the hearts of Christians is from the hearts of Christians a couple hundred years past. They believed the life and truth and way enough to leave their homes, cross the ocean, begin living under the stars with no bed, no readily available food or shelter, no doctors, medicine, or any real comfort. What they had was simply faith in God, faith in Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. They had his word and were determined to find a place where they could live that out. What will we do with it? We know that Jesus is the way. We know life and freedom are found in him and his commandments. But what does that mean for us who believe? In our society, who is overwhelmingly rejecting his demands for what is righteous, right? What does God want from America? What does he want for America? God created America to carry on the Great Commission. It is the fulfillment of the commission that brought true freedom to any nation. Jesus said in our reading today, John 8:31-32, when Jesus said those things to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciple indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." God wants us to do what he has called us to do, to tell others about him, to live by the standards he has set out for us in his word. His passion is for the souls of the lost. And we live in a nation that's pretty saturated with the lost, people who don't know him, who don't follow him. The most accessible mission field for us could be right across the street from our home, could be at the job that you work, may even be in the house that you live in. If we as God's chosen people for this time in history will recognize the Great Commission as our personal mission in life, I think we'll see some major changes happen whenever we choose to live by that. God created America as a beacon of freedom and hope. Hope to be able to worship him without any hindrances. History has proven that only hearts given to Jesus will maintain a society given to freedom. History in the present world we live in is a proof that where there's little Jesus, there's little freedom. Where there's much Jesus, there's much freedom. No nation can thrive in freedom and prosperity without God's blessing to thrive. God blessed this nation and gave us the most powerful military force the world has ever known. Today we remember the sacrifices of those who are a part of that military. We also remember Christ and what he has done, what sacrifices he gave to give us freedom from sin. So I want to say, let God speak to your heart today. What is that going to drive you to do this week? What does that remind you need to do that maybe we haven't been doing? We have a lot of opportunities. We have opportunities of renewal, which we can do today. We can baptize you for the first time. We can pray for you. If you have any of these needs, please come forward and tell me during this next song as we stand and as we sing.